Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. And Andy, it is week one of college football. I know you are pumped for it. Are you not?
It's football season. It's football season. There's only one way to put it. It's so exciting. The Saturdays and Sundays are now, my one buddy he's a football fan, but he's not big. And he's like, he's coming back up from Myrtle Beach for a few weeks. He goes, hey, we can play on the weekend. I'm like, I don't think so, Osborne. No. He's like, well, it's just, you can record getting it. No.
And we should let our listeners know, because you've mentioned this before. You're in the TV, you've got the split screen, the multi-view thing going, right?
No, I can't do it. I have multi-device going. But I can do multi-television. So, but I can't do the split screen because I don't know which one to watch. And I always get the volumes. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear that one. Well, why are they all foreign commercials? So that one I can't do, but I'll do a big screen, a smaller screen, my laptop, and if necessary, I'll revert to the phone. But I'll generally have, on average, three games rolling at once, generally.
I admire that. The one thing I have streaming and love it in every way, except mine doesn't have just the back button, you know, to watch two games that you watch this game, and as soon as it hits a commercial, you hit the go back button to the other channel. You have to go back, switch, you know, it's a multi-step process.
Jimmy, we're streaming. Take your 55 or 65 inch, you're beautiful. Put your big game on that. Get you another TV right next to it. Put it on the tray. Get you a 36 or 40 incher. Put it next to it. Stream
problem
it as well.
Solved.
Right? Like, that's your problem solved. Have at least two games. That's why I generally will have three. My laptop will have a third going. So, yeah.
Andy, as much as I realize this is riveting entertainment for our listeners.
It's not.
Let's move on. We start of course, football week with James Franklin's. He meets the media a couple times. And I tell you what, I don't think he's given enough credit for answering questions pretty candidly in his press conferences. You know, I think I dwell on.
You.
I think he should be more open about injury. Some of these things are, you know, hey, you could tell us the guy tore up a knee if you're along with, you know, it's a long-term injury. But I digress. Other than that, I think he's fairly open. And he talked about a few things. One of them, let's start with this. One of your favorite topics and mine also, the offensive line. He feels like he has seven starters. And the interesting name that he includes with this now is TJ Shanahan, the transfer portal lineman.
Yeah, he put TJ right there as one of the seven. And they'll mix and match. I think it also became abundantly clear that Anthony Donka is going to start at right guard. I think that was pretty clear. You know, he listed them and Anthony was the first five, you know, Cooper Cousins, you know, then he was like, hey, I think we have, you know, seven guys. And it was TJ Shanahan. It was maybe a bit of a surprise. It wasn't the biggest surprise to me of what he revealed earlier this week, but they feel comfortable with seven. Seven's been the number all along, and they're going to mix and match to, you know, there's a balance between not ruining the cohesion and getting these seven guys to play. I think number one priority for these next 3 weeks, particularly this first week. Get those seven and mix and match them together and get them some serious playing time. Because, yeah, you want to get, you're going to get your second team guys in there, but I think you might, the offensive line might play a little longer than we think, just because why not play the seven a little bit longer?
And it's a cohesion issue. And I think, and James actually even mentioned that sometimes there'll be six offensive linemen on
Correct.
The field.
Correct.
So, you know, one of my favorite things, let's get Vega Ioane out in the open field, Andy.
The preseason first team All-American, by the way.
That's right. Perhaps, I'm guessing here, was your biggest surprise that Antoine Belgrave Shorter was going to be a starting safety, Andy?
Yeah, that was clearly we said, you know, it's nothing new. Like, they have like four starting safeties. We said that all offseason. They have four starting safeties. They have four starting safeties. It's a strength of the defense. It's a strength of the defense. And it's really the strength of this defense. I mean, he still said, you know, DeJuan Lane and King Mack will play, right? Like, and one of the killer Z's there. I'm using the term. Zaki Wheatley will be the other starter. Second-year player, Antoine Belgrave Shorter. I mean, that's in that safety room to earn that spot, that's some next-level playing right there. I mean, and we also know Zion Trachty's going to be the fifth DB, right, in the package. We know that. So, you can expect all four safeties to play, all four safeties to contribute, but out of the gate, that was a little bit of a surprise, was to hear that name, not in the rotation of four guys, but in the, no, he's going to be one of the two guys out in the field in the beginning.
Of this group, he's the first among equals.
Yeah.
And I think part of this, Andy, and he brought it up, that Belgrave Shorter led the fall camp, I guess, in interceptions and pass deflections. He performed. He had the numbers in the fall camp. And I think they keep track of all that from every practice, Andy. And I think they obviously do it for a reason. But I think they also want to say, hey, you know what? This matters. It matters how you perform in the fall camp. And he's rewarding guys for performing well in the fall. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Next topic, Andy, he brought up, he was asked about some of the freshmen, true freshmen, and, you know, the green light process. And this, again, is a place where I think he's been very candid. He named some players that he would be green lighting. A couple of these guys are ones that we've been talking about. Chaz Coleman, who's been like the talk of camp at defensive end. And by the way,
Jimmy's new favorite player.
Well, for those who listen to our show, we have, you know, Mike Villagrana on the show, who works with the players individually as part of Happy Valley United. He gets to watch practices. He gets to see this. He was the first one that I heard really talking about Chaz Coleman. He also told us early on, and Darius Dixon is a name that I think a lot of folks know coming in. He came from California, was from Mater Dei, a big program out in California, highly regarded coming in. So those two players have been given the green light, Andy.
Yeah, and one at corner, which is a position you're not concerned about at the high end, but it's a position you can be concerned about at the second level end a little bit, right? So this, you know, that one makes sense. The D end, I think he's being green-lighted, and he will play in these first four games. These first three games. There's no doubt about it. You're going to see him and get to see what it is. Is he at that level where he's, you know, the third or fourth defensive end in? And if he is, I want to see it. and I want to see what he's working with. I need to, I can't wait for these next 12 quarters to sort of watch him among others, but I think they're pretty good at defensive end. I just think he's a piece of a puzzle on the back end of defensive end. And that's enough for a first-year player. That's good enough. That's more than good enough, especially on a defense built like this.
And Andy, what's always nice is how for years we've been talking about this, that there's like 18 or 20 starters on defense because of the way they rotate guys. And that's an important element of it. Who's number two and number three at these different positions that they rotate so much. So it's great to hear that there's some up and comers. He mentioned a little bit later in the press conference, Yvonne Camaju, another defensive end, another guy who wasn't necessarily a big name, but is a guy to remember. And the other one, wide receiver, Kobe Howard. Again, I'm going to give Mike Villagrana a lot of credit. He's been naming these names for a while for us, Andy.
Yeah, the wide receiver one, I don't think is legit. That's just me because I think he gave six names, and they've got a lot to figure out among those first six, right? Like James already gave out the first six. You don't need to worry about seven or eight possibility at wide receiver right now. How about we figure out one and two first? But I get it. But they have bigger problems and concerns at wide receiver to deal with than they do at those other positions. So I think there's more of an open lane at the other positions for them to actually contribute and play. I think it's going to take a lot more work at the wide receiver position because they have such a huge learning curve. That's just my two cents.
And I think you're right. They would like to be at least two deep at each position. They name three wide receiver positions,
right?
As three wide receiver starters. It's not always going to be three wide receivers on the field. So going six deep at wide receiver, it's a good thing. But all right, Andy, 30 seconds left. Anything else from the press conference that caught your eye?
They've decided on QB2. And they weren't ready to let everybody know because of they hadn't told the players yet, but we'll get to find out on Saturday, right? Like, that's one of the things I'm watching.
Ethan Grunkmeyer.
Jimmy, stop it.
All right, Andy, that's going to be the final word here in quarter number one. Next, we're going to do an actual Penn State Nevada preview, Andy. I'll be curious to see what you're looking for when the Nittany Lions take the field.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. You know what, Andy? It might be a little bit too late for week one if you need to make arrangements for heading out to Happy Valley for a football weekend. But there's week two, week three. There's also the whiteout game against Oregon. And if you're looking for a place to stay for the weekend, check out gopsurv.com. This is where they have the RV all set up, ready and waiting for you. You just drive your car there. The RV's all set. I always say one of my favorite things, Andy, is you don't have to worry about parking at the stadium. They have the shuttle taking you back and forth to the game. Great feature. Show up on Friday, stay through Sunday. Fantastic way to spend the weekend. If you want to know more, give a call at 800-519-8467 or go to gopsurv.com. All right, let's hit our Penn State Nevada preview. Let's start with this because I think it was something that people might get a little confused. We were talking at the end of segment one about the backup quarterback. James Franklin talked about the race for number two. He was holding off on announcing it. And, of course, he did announce Ethan Grunkmeyer would be number two. But that was just for week one. He said they're both close. He has to name somebody to be the first guy in after Drew Aller. So it's going to be Grunkmeyer. But I get the impression that we're going to see plenty of both of them in this out-of-conference schedule, Andy.
You would think, and especially this game probably, you might be into the third quarterback. You could be into the third quarterback sooner than later in this matchup. Let's just put it that way, Jimmy. So this one's a big opportunity. I think you could see all three quarterbacks play. That would be more likely, the more likely scenario in my head going into this game.
I think the way James Franklin presents it, he wants to see more from both. I think this is a situation, he doesn't come right out and say it this way, but I don't think either one of them took the bull by the horns and grabbed the position. It may be based on performance in these first three games, how they do that. So that's one interesting aspect of it. But, Andy, here you go into a game like this, you know, a 44-point favorite. You know, the easy first question is just what are you looking for when watching a game like this?
So I'm going to start with ground zero. I'm starting with Drew Aller, right? This is his third season as a starter. I'm watching. It's game one. I need to see you putting building blocks in place to get you ready for those big games. You've got a whole new receiving core. Part of the responsibility to make that work is you. And I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm saying I need to see that. I want to see it right away. I want it to look simple, smooth, and easy. Second year with the offensive coordinator. He's played in 39 games, got 29 starts. He's one of the top returning quarterbacks in the country, top 10 in terms of yards and touchdowns. I want him to be one of the top two or three guys. I want him to be one of those guys that everybody's talking about. If Penn State's going to be somewhere near the expectations it has, he's got to be the talking point of this football team. So quarter one, game one, right away. Got to see it. Want to see it. Need to see it. That's just the way it is. For a guy that has his experience and his talent and sort of his pedigree, let's not see it build. Let's see it right from the jump.
Andy, you know, I don't think we've seen so many good games from Drew Aller against lesser competition. I don't think him playing well, putting up, you know, decent numbers in this game really matters much, except for this part of it. Totally new wide receiver room, right? I think a year ago, we all knew, you know, Tyler Warren was his crutch, a phenomenal crutch to have, okay? All-American, best tight end in the country. But many times I think Drew Aller only had eyes for Tyler Warren.
We can agree to disagree.
I think there were times, Andy, that he threw into coverage to Tyler Warren when there may have been somebody else open. Now, my point is, though,
like three a wide new receiver? Wide,
yes. Well, no, just overall, as a receiver, that's who he looked for, Andy. But he's got three new wide receivers.
Correct.
Is he going to have a favorite? I don't think we know who that guy is.
I don't care if he has a favorite. Here's the way I look at it. I understand you're not wrong, right? Like, did he look at Tyler Warren too much? For sure, yeah. He should have. But you're 100% right, Jimmy. But here's the flip side of it. They were a problem, right? They were his biggest. They were like a 50-pound stone on his back. They couldn't get open. They weren't running the correct routes, et cetera, et cetera. there's a long laundry list of why the Penn State wide receivers were such a huge problem for an offense that functioned incredibly well without them for the most part, generally speaking. So these guys have a bit more meat on the bone and it appears they've been better. At his level, it's time for him to drag them along. I'm in the first 2 years, I'm good with, like, they were part of his problem. That was crystal clear. I feel it's time for him to flip the switch and make them part of the solution. Him being responsible for making the receivers a bigger part of the solution here. Not in making risky throws and putting the ball in jeopardy. That's not what I'm talking about. But I just think there's a, gosh, am I talking good about the wide receivers? Somebody wake me up. I think there's a little bit more to work with now, right? At least early indicators are there's more to work with. Let's see him take that little bit and make it more.
Right. And Andy, you know, my point is that he's shown an inclination to have a favorite receiver. That favorite receiver is now gone, okay? So there's a huge void. There's this wide receiver one opening, okay? Or actually receiver one. Who is going to be that guy among the receivers? All right, Andy, you know, we talk about that a lot, but how about the on the rest of the field?
Yep.
Who are the guys you're looking for? Again, you know, Nevada, we don't expect to be particularly competitive in this game. So it's going to be about the Penn State guys.
Yeah, I'm watching.
What are you looking at?
I'm watching the D line. That's what the position group that I'll give you. Then I'll give you some dudes. And I'm actually, yeah, I'll be watching the D tackles, but I'm really focused on the D ends, Jimmy. You know, James talked about earlier this week, they're looking to establish a five depth chart. He'd like six. That's a little cray-cray. Really, you're looking for four with five being your four or five being your real number. There's a lot of options there, right? There's some green lights. We talked about that in quarter one. There's some known guys. There's some guys coming off injury. There's a lot for Deion Barnes, the defensive line coach, to mix and match and see what they look like, right? I think that I'm going to be watching the DNs closely. That's all I'm going to say is I think they're – I just want to see what it looks like and how it shakes out. And, you know, don't forget they're going against a six-year quarterback who didn't play much last year and a team that's got a running back who was a rotational player. So, individual players, Zariah Fisher, he hasn't played football in a while, right? What was first bite of the apple look like? I'm keen on him. I want to see what it looks like. I'm very, very, very excited to watch Anthony Duncan play offensive guard. It seems like he'll be one of the first five on the field. He's kicking inside from the right tackle position that he played before he got injured last year, but that's because he's a better guard prospect at the next level. He's just too good to keep off the field. That's the bottom line, Jimmy. He's coming back from a long-term injury, and he's not playing right tackle. Going to be watching that. QB2, QB3, I want to see them both. I'm looking forward to watching them both. You knew exactly what you had the last couple of years of Bro Papula as your backup. You knew what you got. Let's see what we got behind Drew Aller now. And I think this would be a first bite of the apple, so I'm going to watch both of them, and I'm going to hope both of them play and hope both of them get a little bit of equal time.
Yeah, I'd like to see them. I'm going to be very much focused on the defense. I don't want to see any breakdowns, Andy, you know, with the new coordinator. Can they be essentially mistake-free? And as we talk about a lot, they play a lot of rotate, a lot of players in on defense.
They will.
It's the next level. We know who Zane Duran is. We know who Denai Dennis Sutton is. How about the next guys? All right, Andy, I always want to give you enough time. I'm going to give you that time. I need your prediction for the game, and I need your bold prediction for the game.
Yeah, this is a bad football team, Jimmy. I mean, they were, what, 3-something? They're what, 3-9, 2-10 a year ago, something bad. They were bad. And I think they were more competitive, and they were actually a better football team a year ago than maybe their record was, and I don't think they're that this year. They got a new secondary, their offensive line, and just don't, you know. The quarterback's a six-year guy who this is his third stop, and he didn't play last year, like I mentioned earlier. So I'm going to go – what's the spread?
44 and a half.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick them to cover. I'm going to go Penn State 52, Nevada 10. How about that one?
Okay.
52-10. My bowl prediction coming off my dead solid perfect last bowl prediction, which we did for the SMU game where I said three turnovers for 150 plus yards rushing for a Penn State running back. I don't know which one that'll be. It might be one of the super studs. It might be your third running back, right? Like ripping off a long one and having a big game. Could be running back. I don't know. I'm just going to call 150 plus yards for one of Penn State's running backs against Nevada. Their defensive front's just not very good, Jimmy.
Okay, here's my, and it's, we're going to be surprisingly close on our bold predictions. I had this before I heard yours, but I hate betting these games with that big a spread.
Don't.
But I'm going to make it 52-7, okay? Because James Franklin, he'll never admit it, but I think he knows what the spread is. I think he likes to cover the spread. Late in the game, I think he'll let his quarterback still be chucking the ball around, and he's going to say, oh, it's because I need to see what they can do. And there's truth to that, but I don't think he'll take his foot off the gas. My bold prediction, Andy, was somebody is going to have a greater than 50-yard run or a short completion and run for over 50 yards, and it someone other than Catron Allen or Nick Singleton. Okay, Quentin Martin, Cam Wallace, one of them will have an over 50-yard play in this game, Andy.
So you're saying it has to be a running back?
I'm saying it's a running back. Andy, that is it for quarter two. When we come back, your questions and we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for your questions. We're going to ask Andy. If you want to ask Andy a question, it's really simple. Just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. All right, you ready, Andy?
Yeah, we're in the twilight of the offseason, which is my favorite Ask Andy question season. So we're in the golden hour. It's the last week. Let's go.
I'm going to hit you up with some really deep questions to start. This is Matt from Massachusetts who says, Jim and Andy, I'm included in this, Andy. Remember that.
Boo.
I present a sensitive question. James Franklin has been at Penn State for over 10 years. Is his time running out? The hump has not been conquered.
Ooh, yeah, so this is his 12th season. And you know what? In some respects and in some ways, with all the building that he's done, this is just me. Why do I feel like he's just getting started in some ways? That's just where I'm at right now. And I'm like, you know, I'm not a rah-rah guy. I'm just like, it just feels like the worms turn at another level. It feels like they're just getting started. Because remember this, now retention had a lot, this was supposed to be the fall off year. This was where everyone's gone. And, you know, no, they're a national title conversation slash contender. You know, what is it? Four of the last 5 years, they've had 10 or more wins. College football playoff semifinal a year ago. Big Ten championship. Competed for the Big Ten championship. Just feels like he's getting started. It is the James Franklin I'm not a fan of camp to go, like, you know, I see it. I know it. It's good. I just feel differently. I feel like in some respects at the next level, he might just be getting started.
Andy, I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but I think you're very right. Here, I was going to be defending James Franklin here, and I will. I think it sounds like, wow, 12 years if he hasn't done it by now. But if you really think about it, Andy, he came in, had to deal with the sanctions and limited scholarships. He was building from ground zero, not just the players on the field, but the entire infrastructure of the program. And, you know, you may not think of it this way, but this last year, bringing in Jim Knowles as the highest paid defensive coordinator in all of college football, that's an amazing achievement because you never thought of Penn State being the team, the school, the program that would outbid everybody else. Just, it wasn't that way. It's taken a long time, but James Franklin has built up that infrastructure. And the closer I get to the program, the more I see of it, the more I see that growth and development that has happened under James Franklin's watch. The other part to it, and I understand, you know, Penn State fans are frustrated, the record against top five teams and Ohio State and all that. But if you're going to judge someone just by, did they win a national championship? Boy, Andy, how many current coaches have a national championship under their belt? I think there's three of them, Andy.
Right.
Three of them. Not many guys achieve that. Some really, really good coaches have never won a national championship. So certainly I'd like to see them do that. This year they're in contention to do that, but I don't think it's an all or nothing. If they lose the national championship game or lose in the semifinals, I don't think that's like, okay, he failed. All right, let's move on, Andy. And I'm giving you a second in a row deep question, okay? And I, in a sense, they're a little bit related, but Gary from Tyrone says, is Drew Aller a national championship quarterback?
Whew. I don't think so. I don't. I just the bit, you know, that's sort of the way it disappears in a big game in a tight spot when it goes a little bit sideways. And I don't even think the Notre Dame game went sideways. He just sent it sideways. So it was, I could look at the previous big games and understand that the opposition made it go more sideways, and that was difficult for him. The Notre Dame one flips the switch for me. He sent that game sideways sort of on his own accord. And I'm not just talking about the interception. I've said that greatly. You know, throw one through throw, whatever, 20 it was, that attempts in that game, it just was not good. And that's a big hurdle to overcome. I think Penn State, particularly at the running back position, offensive line, I'm feeling really good about tight ends. Wide receivers is still mystery meat that I have no idea what it is. When it says Salisbury steak on the menu, I'm like, what does that mean? I don't know about the wide receiver. There might just be enough around him to cover that up, but on his own accord, on his own merit, despite being supremely talented, working harder than most, taking his craft and position seriously, and really, really trying to excel at it. That's a mental thing, not a physical thing, and that's in that arena at the next level on those biggest stages. They might be able to carry him past that, but I don't think he can do it on his own merit. And that's the question I think Gary and, you know, Tyrone is asking. Is Drew Aller on his own merit a national championship quarterback? And my answer would be no.
You know, Andy, that's a very good answer, and it's hard to debate any of the points that you make. I am always very leery of these assessments of, you know, I'll use James Franklin again as an example, and people like Paul Feinbaum, he can't win a big game. Well, that's right. Such a generic, oh, he doesn't have the intangibles.
Yeah.
You know, it's like somebody is going to lose every one of the big games, okay? One team or the other. And you know, Ohio State has just been probably the best program in the last decade. So I'm not going to judge James Franklin just on those games. And the same way with Drew Aller, I do believe he has to grow as a quarterback. And I think some of that is maturity. It's repetition. You know, I think probably the first game he played in college football, he was probably nervous. I don't think he's nervous now when he gets on the field. Probably there were some nerves playing those big games, but he's now been in enough of those. And to just say, oh, no, you know, ever a big game, ever pressure, he folds. Well, take a look at that USC game where they were down multiple touchdowns and perhaps a playoff spot was on the line, on the road, down multiple touchdowns. He came up huge in a lot of pressure points in that game. So I think he has it in him. I think this, you know, basing it on intangibles, that he's not that guy, I'm not quite sure that's fair. We'll see, though, Andy, when they get out on the field. Let's go to Barry in Hagerstown. I love these nice, short, to-the-point questions. Andy, who will have more passes caught this year, Luke Reynolds or Khalil Dinkins?
Go ahead and touch them all, Barry in Hagerstown. You, sir, have asked a touch-em-all question. That's a really good one. Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Because there's more to the question than who's going to catch more passes, okay? Kudos, Barry. Yes, it's he's using number of catches to, you know, ask a bigger question.
Yeah.
So who's it going to be? He probably could have just said, who's it going to be, Reynolds or Dinkins? And your answer is?
Luke Reynolds. I have to pick one. I don't think Khalil has, while I think he's underrated, vastly underrated, I don't think he has quite the bloom and blossom I don't think he's got as many tools in his toolkit overall, A to Z, as Luke does. And that's it. If you go A through M, I think they're identical and it could be very equal. And I could make an argument that I think in a good number of situations, I think Khalil Dinkins could be the more impactful player for Penn State. But A to Z, bigger picture, bloom it all out, I think Luke Reynolds has a higher upside at another level than Khalil does at his level.
You know, Andy, a month ago, I would have just answered this by saying, yep, you're right, Andy. Yeah, but
it's a tricky one. I'm not
convicted. This last month, you know, from the Big Ten media days forward, they've been putting out Khalil Dinkins' name so much from inside. You know, it's James Franklin talking about it. It's the offensive coordinator. It's everyone talking about him. Plus, Khalil Dinkins, who you think, well, he does the dirty work, the grinder.
No.
He was on the freaks list, okay?
He's a freak, Jimmy.
Those physical tools are there. So, Andy, I'm going to answer this one. I don't know. I don't know.
I think Khalil's healthy, right? Like, I think that's the biggest difference. Like, he's healthy. He's confident. He feels like he's an integral part of the offense now. He's just performing at another level, and that could continue. Could be him.
Let's sneak in a fourth one question, more. Andy. It's a question from Tim from Port Matilda.
Oh, man.
Here's how I'm going to do it. He believes two guys are a bit underrated, Dom DeLuca and Zaki Wheatley. What do you think?
No, not even close. Neither one is underrated. Not even close. I mean, Dom DeLuca is going to be a green dot guy. That doesn't mean you're underrated, right? Like, he's going to have the green dot in his helmet and will be, you know, communicating with Jim Knowles. And yeah, okay, maybe Zaki, maybe a wee bit, but man, if you watched last year, you knew. I see where he's going, but I also, like, you just have to know football a little bit and watch 8 quarters of Penn State. And you had 12, you had the 12 team playoff. So you got, they were all over the television. And you would know that that's not true.
Real quick, I think with Dom DeLuca, he carries the tag of a walk on.
Yeah.
So it's the stereotype of an stigma. Overachiever.
Yep.
I'm saying he's more athletic than he's given credit for.
Absolutely.
He's got all the intangibles, but he's more athletic than than a lot of people realize. All right, that's it for quarter three. One more quarter to go.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. You know, Andy, I love Ask Andy, just like you do. I love getting the listener questions because they come at things from a different angle than we do. I love doing a preview like we did Penn State, Nevada. But this might be my favorite segment because we're going to talk about college football in general because there's so many great games this weekend. And I know I'm the Penn State guy. You are college football guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And I love that about you, Andy. So I'm going to give you the chance. We're going to talk. And I'll tell you what, there are let's go with the three top 10 games this weekend. At least let's start there, Andy.
Yep.
I'm going to let you start wherever you want. There's Texas, Ohio State. There's LSU, Clemson, and Notre Dame, Miami. Where you want to start?
Oh, it's Texas and Ohio State. I mean, come on. They met last year in the college football playoff semifinals. You know, both teams are buzz teams, aren't they? They're one in three in the polls or one in two in the polls?
One in three in the AP, one in two in the college poll, coaches poll.
Yeah, right. So we're right on both fronts. They're top three programs going into the season. Bang, meet on the field.
The winner will probably be number one.
Yeah, the winner will be number one. End of story. The winner. So the interesting fact is they play these like really meaningful games. Like this is only the fifth time they met, right? And the winner in three of the previous four meetings went on to win the national championship or what was deemed a national championship. So Ohio State's still going to have talent, right? They're talented. That's just their recruiting and the way they retain talent and obtain talent. They're just going to be talented. However, they lost two offensive linemen, two NFL running backs, a first round NFL draft pick at wide receiver. Oh, the quarterback, Will Howard, no longer is now in the NFL. Oh, and their OC left. Oh, and their DC left. So let's stop. There's your, oh, by the ways, Texas defensive line is legit. Like they're a real, real problem. I don't care who they're playing. But here's where the playing field levels a little bit for me. Ohio State lost a lot up front on defense, right? We know that. Guess what? Texas is replacing four guys up front on the O-line. That's sort of inside the game where the rubber meets the road for me, right? Don't forget, everyone talks about Arch Manning, and you can't get anybody to say a bad thing about him. That's with good reason. But don't forget, the strongest, most elite, what I think is the strength of the Ohio State team will still be their defensive backfield. Safety Caleb Downs. He's just a stud with all capital letters, right? They have vets in the backfield. So Texas is green at wide receiver. You see where I'm going here? At the end of the day, is it Julian saying or is it Arch Manning who's the better quarterback in this game? That's your winner? Me? Where are you going, Jimmy? I want to hear who you're picking. We'll just say, not spreads, who are you picking?
I'm picking Ohio State.
Me too. Me too. Really?
How about that? Well, let me give you my reason, okay? They have the two best players on the field are Ohio State players. When Ohio State has the ball, Jeremiah Smith will be the best player on the field by far. You know what, Andy? I should not slobber over an Ohio State player.
You do.
But I will. Yeah, he's phenomenal. Do. He's great. He's not good. He's great. He's probably the best player in college football. And, oh, by the way, when Texas has the ball and Ohio State's on defense, Caleb Downs is probably the best player on the field.
Yeah, that's sort of why I'm going with Ohio State. Because I think there's a lot that gets washed out. But I think as you're looking into the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, start looking at that Ohio State offensive – or, excuse me, Texas offensive line versus Ohio State defensive line. Who's winning that battle will really matter in helping determine this outcome. But, yeah, I'm picking Ohio State too. Yeah, I can't believe we both picked the same team in that game.
Well, you know what? An Arch Manning may be the next great Manning quarterback.
Yeah. All
in. I don't know that yet. That's not a given, Andy.
First start. Right. And first start for San, right? So two quarterbacks, first start, level playing field.
All right. Which game do you want to head to now?
LSU-Clemson.
What a great matchup.
A great matchup. I mean, so much. So we went from rookie quarterbacks making their first start
to
two vets, right? Like, let's just get that out of the way. Klubnik and Garrett Nussmeier, two veterans can sling it, right? Like, that's where you start with. But here's a little interesting tidbit. I got a little interesting tidbit for you a little bit on each one. Combined, these clubs have lost seven straight openers. Did you know the last time LSU won a season opening game was 2019, their natty year? And Clemson got embarrassed by Georgia last year and lost to Duke the year before. So that's sort of out there. Which one of these teams can change that sort of, you know, we don't have that real loving feeling when we first step on the field. For me, Clemson's key is you want to talk about their offense. They finally got their receivers to go along with the quarterback. I do agree on that. The key for me is their defense. They were pretty good to very good a year ago, but they could be inconsistent. Remember in the ACC title game, they had the game locked down and all of a sudden SMU's knocking at the back door going, hey, don't forget about us. That's a little troublesome. Clemson's offense has all the firepower it needs to run up and down in the shootout. I just think their defense, if they're going to win games at the next level, needs to be elite. I could see a thriller in this one, really. LSU has the dudes. That's just – they have more overall top-end talent. LSU does. They have more than Clemson. But I don't think they have the seasoning Clemson has. And in the end, despite plenty of excess – you know, plenty of success for both offenses. I see the Tigers of Clemson defense doing just enough late to defeat the Tigers of LSU. So I'm going to go Clemson in this game. But I can't wait to watch the quarterback matchup. I just want to watch them go up and down the field, both offenses.
Andy, I also have Clemson in this one. I feel like for Clemson, this might be their biggest game of the season. I think their assumption is that they're going to win the ACC. Maybe they lose the conference championship game and don't get the automatic bid. Winning this one is very, very important for them. LSU playing in the Southeast Conference is going to have plenty of other games to prove themselves. This is the one, you know, if Clemson, just like a year ago, like you mentioned, Georgia blew them off the field. If that happens again to Clemson and Clemson ends up winning the ACC, boy, you're just telling the Southeast Conference, gee, one of our middle of the pack teams, or maybe above average teams, but not one of the elite teams, clean the clock of the ACC champion. Boy, that's a bad, bad look for the ACC, Andy. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Clemson to win this game. I think they will. Dabo has been there. He's been there in the big games. All right, Andy. Speaking of ACC, Notre Dame at Miami.
The quarterback advantage is obviously huge, right? You start there. Georgia transfer Carson Beck takes over at Miami. Notre Dame's going to go with CJ Carr, who hasn't thrown a collegiate pass yet, right? So there's a gap there. So the interesting thing is you're going to want to start out with the offensive line, which is exceptional at Notre Dame, and the running back. Julian Love is what I think. Jeremiah Love. Thank you, Jimmy. Jeremiah Love is the single best returning running back in all of college football. In, you know, the next two belong to Penn State, and the best tandem is Penn State's. That's going to feed their beast, right? And you've heard a lot during this preseason and offseason about Notre Dame's defense. I need to see it, right? The last time I saw Notre Dame's defense, the last two times I saw Notre Dame's defense, they were getting pushed around a little bit. So I think I know the answer. Is it coach speak hype, or is this defense real? I think I know the answer, but I want to see it. And I think a quarterback at Carson Beck's level with some of the weapons he has around him is a legit test. So for me, this game, it just feels like Notre Dame is comfortable filling out this dance card. Like they know what it's going to take, and they know exactly how this dance card needs to be filled out. It's not going to be necessarily football next level appealing, and they don't care. So they just are going to understand and know what they need to do to beat Miami. And I'm going to take Notre Dame to win this football game against Miami, despite the huge advantage that I think could exist at the quarterback position, the most important position, obviously. I still think Notre Dame wins a football game, Jimmy.
Andy, you're killing me here. You're killing me, Andy.
I'm killing you.
Because I also have Notre Dame, which you know pains me. But I'm not as high on Carson Beck as you are. If he were that guy who could just carry a team, carry an offense, he'd still be at Georgia, okay? And for Notre Dame, I am a Marcus Freeman guy. I do think, and again, a lot of my judgment, I think even our judgment, is based on that Notre Dame-Penn State game that we saw a year ago. Penn State was the better team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman found a way. And I think this Notre Dame team, and I think Marcus Freeman is better at establishing, we're going to win in the trenches. We're going to be better at blocking. We're going to be better at tackling. We're going to be better at running the ball. And he could make the game about those things, as opposed to it being about the quarterbacks, okay? Pains me to say that, but I think Marcus Freeman is a heck of a coach, a heck of a recruiter. He's putting something together there, and it's just fascinating to me is Brian Kelly left Notre Dame because he thought it'd have a better chance to win championships at LSU. Marcus Freeman saying, Brian Kelly, hold my beer.
Right.
Let me show you how, Andy.
And how about Notre Dame? Jaywon Sider, former Penn State running backs coach, now the Notre Dame running back coach. Here, take control of this offense. Your running backs. I'll get the offensive line to do their job. Figure out how to mix and match the running backs and make it work. Oh, hello, Jaywon Wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's he's really establishing that program. He's making it work. They're going to be national title contenders. And Andy, I hate it. but I respect it. All right, Andy, that is it for the show. Thank you, Andy. Enjoy the weekend.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.